This morning's scripture reading is the one we read last week, Matthew 6. It's the Lord's Prayer. And again, in terms of preaching this sermon, it's on the Lord's Prayer. Last week we looked at Our Father who art in heaven on Father's Day. And then we're going to look at the last petition to the Father, in particular, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or deliver us from the evil one. And the context of this sermon is certainly relevant to us here. Last week I mentioned that Satan, in your lifetime, this has never happened, I don't think. That the presence of Satan was announced publicly on June 15, 2023, on the front page of the Holland Sentinel. You read it if you get the Sentinel. It was stunning. And there, pictured on the front page and then captured in bold print, Satan has entered the chat. Holland Sentinel. And I know it's there. It was a newsworthy article, the editor thinks. But this is deeply spiritual. It has to deal with this minister of the West Michigan Satanic Temple offering to lead the opening prayer at a meeting of the Ottawa County Commissioners. And he showed up and requested, and he told to the commissioners, and he told everybody who was there that Satan has entered the chat. Now, this particular incident was down in Central Park, and they play up the political piece of it. But this is deeply spiritual. In your lifetime, you've never had front page declaration that Satan is right here and has entered the chat. Well, that was the beginning. And of course, it continued. And the Holland Sentinel, March 22, 2024, leading up to opening prayer, the Holland Sentinel front page, this time at the top, says Satanists set to give opening prayer. And so it talks there about revisiting that June article. And here in March it says, well, they got permission. The Satanists will give opening prayer. And so that was in March, and then in April it happened. Maybe you found it, followed it, where on the front page of the Holland Sentinel again, that particular meeting is highlighted. And here's a mass of people, Christians, Satanists as well, up at the Fillmore Complex in Ottawa County. And I know we're in Allegan County, but the minister said in the interview that was in the Sentinel that they're a growing community here in West Michigan, and their growth is especially coming from Kent County, Ottawa County, City of Holland, and Allegan County. That's the context that you and I are living in today. And the sermon today is delivered not to frighten you, certainly to keep you informed of what's going on. A lot of people don't realize the presence of Satan. We don't think about Satan. And we should think about Jesus. That's right. But in the context of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus was in the chapter, in chapter 4, we're going to read chapter 6, part of it. Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the who? Devil. Jesus paid attention to the devil. Not that he was so preoccupied. He was preoccupied with the kingdom of God. He was preoccupied by being the Savior. But along the way, he was tempted. And so today's sermon is delivered in the context, certainly contextually today for us. But also when we go back to the life of Jesus, Who was really important? Jesus. Not to live with fear, but to live with faith. And that was so important to Jesus that in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, he included right in the middle chapter the Lord's Prayer. And of all the things that Jesus could include in the Lord's Prayer, he included a petition. And he said this, pray this way. Well, let's read that right now. Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. By the way, I should have mentioned, I have allergies and it's dripping on my throat, so if I sound nasally or hoarse, that's because of that. It also could be because Satan doesn't want this sermon delivered. But it will be delivered in the power of Jesus. And so contextually, we live in an era and a time when Satan is declared to be publicly present. For Christians, and of course that got a lot of attention, although the editors of the Sentinel, they have not printed the letters that came in opposing that. But we live in an era where Satan is very, very active in our lives and in our community. And we shouldn't be surprised at that, although we're stunned that it's publicly declared. We shouldn't be surprised because Jesus, in what we call the Lord's Prayer, included in all the petitions that he could have included, one about not leading us into temptation, delivering us from the evil one. Now again, on the one hand, we shouldn't be surprised because Jesus was tempted and led by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4, verse 1 says, right after he was baptized and he came out of the Jordan and the Father said, this is my Son, whom I love. At a high point in Jesus' ministry, he's led to be tempted. For those of us who are Christians here, we shouldn't in a way be surprised that the Holland Sentinel is declaring publicly Satan is present and has entered the chat. We shouldn't be surprised because Jesus wouldn't be surprised. He said, I taught you to pray, and I taught you to pray, making sure that you're aware of the evil one. Now, don't forget that. And sometimes as Christians, we can become lackadaisical. We can become sort of routine, and that's okay to be in a godly routine, leading a disciplined life. But we have to remember that Satan does not want us to be strong Christians and certainly not for the church to be built up. He wants to weaken the church. He wants to discourage Christians. And at times he can do that very quietly, privately in our own lives. And at times he can be very public, obviously, here in our area. And so what do we learn here in the Lord's Prayer and Jesus teaching us, pray this way, deliver us from the evil one? The first thing that we should know is that there is a real devil called Satan that Jesus identified and addressed in the temptations. We shouldn't be surprised. Jesus said to Satan, I saw Satan, or Mount Satan, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. This fallen angel, powerful, Satan, came to earth for the purpose of tempting people to sin. We see that in Genesis 3. I start with an obvious to the Christians because I can tell you what the West Michigan Satanic Temple minister said publicly, Central Park, Fillmore, and in the Sentinel. He said, there is no real Satan. There is no real devil. There isn't. That's just a literary figure or term. There is no real Satan. Now that should get our attention as Christians. And immediately, we should not just disagree with that, but we disagree with it based on Scripture, based on Jesus, based on what we know to be true. There is a real Satan and devil who wants to get people to sin, wanted Adam and Eve to sin by questioning God and what God has said and done. Not just in creation, but in instruction. Don't eat of a certain tree. And Satan comes and says, did God really say that to get them to sin? That's important that we come back to this foundational teaching and lesson in the Lord's Prayer on this petition, that there is a real Satan. There is a real devil, a creature, a fallen angel, who is here on earth to get us to sin. Now, if you're a veteran Christian, you know that. But for each generation, that reminder has to be in place that there is a real Satan who wants to get us to sin. And now I'm going to do a church history part of sermons, and that happens with sermons. I'm going to refer you to our confessions in the Heidelberg Catechism, and then, again, this point is, the lesson is, there is a real Satan, a real devil. In the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 52, what does the six requests of the Lord's Prayer mean? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one means, by ourselves we are too weak to hold our own even for a moment. And our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, never stop attacking us. And so, Lord, uphold us, make us strong with the strength of your Holy Spirit, so that we may not go down to defeat in this spiritual struggle, but may firmly resist our enemies until we finally win the complete victory. This is 1563, Heidelberg Catechism, passed on to us from one generation to the next. There is a real devil, our sworn enemy. He will use a Holland Sentinel. He'll use a satanic minister to try to convince us that he is not real. He'll do that by using the minister to say there is no real devil. We're just out for inclusivity. We're out for peace. We're out to do what you want to do. Be careful, Christian, when you hear that. There is a real devil. It's in the Bible. It's found in our confessions. When we look at over the years, again, examples from church history, our church history, and the devil is real. In the forms in the back of our Psalter hymnal, there are different forms. One is the baptism of children, and it's one of the oldest forms that we have in the Christian Reformed Church. Going back to 1566, translation. Now this goes back to Reformation times. At the end of that form for baptism of children, in the prayer, is this petition, talking about referencing the child or children baptized. Give them the courage to fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion. May their lives become an eternal song of praise to you, the only one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I reference these things from the history to point out to you, this generation, and to me, that there is a real devil referenced in the Bible. Jesus was tempted by. Our confessions point out that he continues to be active. And even the prayers that are used for children baptized as well as adults point out our fight against the devil. I'm still at the first point, the first lesson, that there is a real devil. We live in an era when that's denied, even publicly. We not only disagree, but we know it's not true, and we live it out. Jesus is the one who taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The second thing, lesson clearly pointed out here, is that Jesus, being tempted, said no to temptation and the tempter. Jesus did that for you and for me. He came to earth. He became man, fully God and fully human, so that he would face temptation, as we do, the author of Hebrews says. And yet he did not sin. He was hungry, as we are hungry, but he did not use hunger to give in to temptation. He was at the top of the temple. He was shown the kingdoms of the world, but he did not give in to Satan and his temptation, even a little bit. That's important for us to come back to. The devil is real. He tempted Jesus, but Jesus did not sin, did not give in to temptation because of us. That's why. He's our Savior. We have to remember that he was tempted in every way as we are and were, and yet did not sin. He defeated the devil by saying no to temptation and dying on the cross for our sins. We must never, ever forget that Jesus pointed to the devil so that he would remind us that he is the only Savior. He's the only way to the Father. And that's why right now, every minister who preaches on this, deliver us from the evil one. Don't let us sin. Does so because we can only be saved in Jesus Christ. We have to come back to this theme over and over and over again. Again, if you're a veteran Christian, you would expect this call to faith in Jesus Christ. And yet we live in an era and a time when even a satanic minister and Satanist would be wanting to join us as Christians and saying, we want what you want. We want peace. We don't want to argue. Well, we can only have peace, lasting peace, eternal peace, and true peace when Jesus is acknowledged and accepted as Savior from sin. The only one. The only one. And that's why in sermons there are calls to faith in Jesus. Right now, if you need to come back to Jesus, this is the time to do that. Satan wants again you and to me to give in to temptation. But Jesus says no. Deliver us from the evil one. How are we, and that's the second point. Jesus is our Savior. He did not give in to temptation. How do we overcome temptation? Well, clearly it's by the Bible, starting there. We go back again to the temptation of Jesus and how the Bible was used by Satan to tempt. But it was used by Jesus to obey. And that's the point. If we're going to live powerfully as Christians now, the Bible and the Word of God has to be at the forefront of our lives. We have to always remember that the sword of the Spirit, as Paul talks about our spiritual warfare, battle against the forces of the devil and evil, we have to always remember that the sword that we take is the Word of God. It's the Word in Ephesians 6, verse 17, that says if we're going to defeat Satan and his flaming arrows, we must have the Word of God. We must have the Word of God in our hearts. That's why the psalmist says, Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against Thee. The Bible is to be read in worship services, in our homes, in our ministries and programs, individually, privately, and together. Because the Word of God provides us the tool to defeat Satan. And Satan knows that. Again, going back to his strategy to Adam and Eve. Did God really say, you should not eat? Did God really say to you and to me what we read in his Bible? Did Jesus really say, deliver us from the evil one? Be aware of temptation. And we know what temptation is when it leads us to disobey God, to disobey his word. We have to remember that the Word of God is intended to shape us spiritually from infancy on. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 15. And we know the scriptures from our parents, our grandparents, and from other Christians. We must always remember this. And so when we grow discouraged and we don't think we have the time to read the Bible or to sit down and hear it read, we must always remember that the Bible is given so that we do not give in to temptation. We are delivered from the evil one. Reading the Word of God is never wasted time. It is always valuable because the Word of God is inspired, coming from God himself, so that we might be thoroughly equipped for every good work to obey him. That includes using the Bible to refute Satanism and Satanists and ministers of Satan, to be able to critique current culture, knowing where sin is obvious and where Satan is working to get us to disobey and give in to temptation. The Bible is a tool to use. And then the second tool, and it's obvious, here in the Lord's Prayer. Prayer is what we need to do as Christians to be delivered from the evil one. Because we know that in prayer, God gives his grace, his power, and his Holy Spirit to those who pray and pray continually. We must never, ever forget the importance of prayer. It's right here in the Lord's Prayer. If we want to live the kind of life that Jesus wants us to live, so that he builds his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, we must be people of prayer. We must realize that it is prayer that provides us with the power, not in our own strength, as the Heidelberg Catechism says. We need the strength that comes from our God. And not only at this time, but throughout all of life. That's why children must be taught to pray and to depend on God to lead and guide them. New Christians must be taught this. One of the first things that we did as new Christians was to memorize the Lord's Prayer. It's not that we hadn't heard it before, but now we prayed it actually expecting God to answer our prayer so that we are delivered from the evil one to live a powerful Christian life. We must never ever forget the importance of prayer and the power of prayer. Little wonder that in our church over the years, when Christians get together to worship, we certainly sing songs of praise. We hear God's word read. We give offerings and gifts. We hear the word preached. And we have times of prayer. Praying to our Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, knowing that He will hear us when we pray in the name of Jesus, His Son, our Savior, to deliver us from the evil one. Little wonder that prayer is never wasting time. Never. When someone may ask you, is prayer important? You as a Christian must always say yes, because it connects us with God, who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and everywhere present, promising to be with us always. But can you imagine then, not how just upsetting it is, but it's even blasphemous for a satanic minister to say, I want to lead opening prayer at an Ottawa County Commissioner meeting. And right away as Christians, we think, that can't be. That's blasphemous. And yet at the same time, we have to say, wow, that's really courageous of Satan to use the word prayer. When as Christians, we know that we pray to the one and only true God. And to use that word in such a way as to mislead. I know people have asked me when we've talked about this, was that a real prayer? Well, all we can say is, if Satan would take a word and want to misuse it to get us to sin, then he takes prayer seriously for the wrong reason. As Christians, we know that prayer is important, and we shouldn't be surprised that Satan would use the word prayer, but use it in a way that would be misleading, sinful. We have to be wise. We continue to use the word prayer, knowing that when we pray, as Jesus taught us to pray, we know we're praying to the one and only true God who loves us for this time as well. So Christian and church, this is not the time for you to back off, to be afraid or threatened, even when Satan is publicly declared as present. Acknowledge that reality as Jesus did and live a powerful Christian life, knowing that God will give you all that you need to withstand temptation, to be delivered from the evil one, and not just now, but forevermore. And when we do sin, know that we have a Savior, the Savior, Jesus, to confess our sins, to turn away from them, and to live the kind of life boldly as a Christian today, even when the church is challenged and Christians are challenged, not to give in. This is not the time to be a weak Christian. This is a time to be strong in the Lord, reading His Word, memorizing it, living in, and having God's power in response to a powerful prayer life by you and by me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to Him. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, as we come to the conclusion of this time of worship, we recognize again that we live in a time when Satan is very real and he's trying to tempt us to sin, coming right into our communities, declaring so publicly. And so now, Jesus, in light of your defeating temptation, in light of your dying for our sins, all because of that, we come to your throne right now. We come to boldly to the throne of grace, thanking you for loving us, dying for our sins, so that we might have life, not just for eternity, but right now. And so build us up as Christians. Help us to acknowledge Satan, but help us also to acknowledge your power and presence in our lives, so that we say no to temptation. But we can only do this when we pray that prayer that has been prayed by your people over all these years, and not just saying words, not just mouthing words, but meaning these words, because we know that only with your power and your strength and your leading can we say no to temptation and our sworn enemies, the devil, the world, and our own imperfect flesh. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and deliver us from this. We forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.